Are we about to see interest rates dropping once again? That is the big question on all of our minds. What is the Fed going to do? Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. On this channel, we aim to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. We believe in buying actual performing assets that will produce monthly cash flow. That is our focus. And of course, over the past year to 2 years, we've been dealing with much higher interest rates. That certainly put a halt on a lot of the home buying that's been going on out in the market. Not for me as a real estate investor, but for actual home buyers that are going to live in the property, primary residence. That's certainly put a damper on things. So people have been holding back, waiting for interest rates to come back down a little bit. Interesting. I was reading a book the other day, just about the late 70s, early 80s, and the interest rate prices. I mean, upwards of 21, 22%. Just think about that for a minute. To get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, 22% interest. So that's what you were seeing in the late 70s and early 1980s. Right now, I believe we're in like a healthy period because obviously these interest rates were kept artificially low by the Federal Reserve. And where are we going to get to? What is the sort of the status quo going to be for the next few years? Is it going to be down in the 3% range? Probably never again. Will it be 9%? Probably not. So where's that healthy 5 to 6% that we're likely to see over the next few years? And so Jerome Powell, of course, last week at the big FOMC meeting, indicating that no rate cuts are coming just yet and not in the March meeting. So we're probably going to have to wait till May until the Fed lowers interest rates once again. But that is, of course, just in alignment with what I've been saying, which is April and May are going to be huge for residential real estate time period. There's such pent-up demand right now. People have been sitting back, waiting to sell their home. They've also been sitting back, waiting to buy a home. So you have this like enormous pressure, like a pressure cooker, Instapot. Well, yeah, is that the one? Yeah, I guess that's the one that gets all the pressure. My wife makes some food in it, and it's fantastic, but and like lets out all the steam, right? That's what we're waiting on right now. So you've got all these people that are waiting. And all these people to buy a home and all these people that are waiting to sell a home, where those interest rates fall. So I think by April, May, we're going to see an explosion. And then, you know, Jerome Powell last night was on 60 Minutes. And of course, when I see Jerome Powell on 60 Minutes on a Sunday night in an election year, you know, put two and two together. The past week, President Biden sending out tweets saying that the economy is fantastic. It's the best it's been in 30 years. He's created more jobs than any president in history. That's what he said. And I'll ask you guys, like, how do you guys feel about the overall economy right now? Do you agree with President Biden, or are they massaging crazy numbers right now? We're seeing a huge round of layoffs coming from the tech sector. So lots of companies laying off thousands of people. We're seeing, of course, inflation is still very high. So people are paying a lot more just to get their normal groceries at the grocery store and everything else. So rent is ridiculously high for a lot of people, of course. So how do you feel about the economy? And then, of course, you see Jerome Powell last night on 60 Minutes. And to me, this is all a big PR move right now. It's an election year. They certainly want you to feel good about the economy. You know, how do you feel about it? As a real estate investor, I'm feeling pretty confident right now in my investments from a cash flow and from an appreciation perspective. And that's what's most important. From a precious metals perspective as well, I'm feeling very confident in that. So on that side of it, I'm happy. On that side of it, I'm always happy, and it doesn't really matter who's president of the United States. So let me know your thoughts on that. All right, today we got our Q&A episode. So these are questions you're able to call in and ask us, and we will attempt to answer them here on the show. All you need to do is go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, and click on the microphone icon on the lower right-hand part of your screen, and we will answer them for you. So let's listen to our first question.
Hi, I'm Courtney from California. And I'd like to start teaching my children to be more financially intelligent, but I'm not sure where to start. Do you have any books or video recommendations for helping them to get a handle on basic finances? Any resources you could recommend would be great. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. So I've got a really good resource that I think is a great place to start, and it's totally free. That's the best thing, right? You can go to our website. It's our 90-day financial freedom bootcamp, and it'll teach you over the course of those many weeks, sort of step by step, on how to build your financial intelligence and then how to really frame out and build out your plan for building wealth over your life. I think starting there, it's a free download. It's a free bootcamp that'll take you through week by week by week. And you can kind of check in on it each week and follow up. Make sure you're going through each step of the way. Just go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com/bootcamp. And again, you can download the bootcamp for free. and go through the entire process. I would highly recommend that, again, as a free resource. And we'll have a link in the description below. Again, that's morrisinvest.com/bootcamp. The other thing I would say is start reading. I think a foundational book that every child should read, teenager, you know, as you're getting into your, you know, late teen years, you're talking about your children, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, by my friend Robert Kiyosaki. You absolutely need to read this book. It's foundational. It's one of those books that I try to read every year, maybe every 2 years, to come back to. A lot of it might seem kind of fundamental to those of you who've already learned about financial intelligence and understand how to build wealth, but it can be an absolute game changer for those who are uninitiated, who don't understand how to build financial intelligence and how things actually work. It's a paradigm shifting book that I highly encourage you to read. So that's a second book that I would recommend. And then a little bit more, I don't want to say complex, but when you want to understand taxes at a deeper level and understand how to navigate the way that the government wants to partner with you, and they don't want to charge you enormous amounts in taxes. Like, they reward you if you build homes, if you partner with them. And that is our friend Tom Wheelwright, his great book, Tax-Free Wealth. That's a great book to really cut your teeth and understand how to start a business, how to invest, where you're paying very minimal amount of taxes because you're partnering with the government, right? The government wants you to build homes, right? So they will reward you with tax breaks and tax incentives. It's just how it works. They want you to invest in America, and they make the tax code reflect that. And so, but they do not reward you if you're just a W-2 employee. Sadly, they don't. In fact, you are taxed in the highest level tax bracket. So teaching your kids this at a young age to let them know if they want to be entrepreneurs, business owners, and investors, that's truly the way to build wealth in the United States. Next question comes to us from Pratap.
Good morning, Clayton. This is Pratap Bhandari. It's been a while, but I have a question for you. So I'm restructuring my investments. I have a primary home that went up on a value significantly. So I will have a profit of at least $1.5 million. That will be my net profit on my primary home. How can I pay less on my taxes? I believe up to the gain on a up to $500,000, I think I don't have to pay as a married couple. But over that, I have to pay the taxes. But how can I minimize paying the taxes on my primary home? I already have a few properties with you. I might add a few properties, few more properties in Lubbock, Texas, with you guys. I'll talk to Haley. But yeah, please, can you tell a little bit more about how I can pay less taxes? Thank you.
Thank you, Pratap. Great to hear from you. So Pratap's one of our investors at Morris Invest. And so, okay, you're selling the home, it sounds like. So you're sitting on this profit. I was going to say, well, it's unrealized. Like, if you're not selling it, you don't have to, pay capital gains on that. But first thing I would say is I'm not a tax attorney. I'm not a tax advisor. So I would definitely talk to your tax team about that. If you're working with the team at Wealthability or other in another place, please talk to them about that, because you might not be able to prevent yourself. It depends on how many years you've lived in the property, right? If you've lived there as a primary resident for 2 years, of course, the taxes are different if you've lived there for 2 years, right? So 2 years to the day, actually. We used to have a guy in our neighborhood in New Jersey that would renovate properties, but he would move into the property with his family. He'd move into a total crap hole of a house. I mean, it was beautiful when it was done, but it was crap, had to renovate the whole thing. So he'd live there with his family, renovate the whole house, and then after 2 years, he would sell it. And he'd specifically target the 2 year mark for capital gains purposes, right? And then he would sell it, and his kids would get so frustrated because they just kept moving around the street, around the neighborhood. And they're like, Daddy, why do we always have to move to a crappy house? Can we just please stay in a house? I just thought that was a funny story. Anyway, so yes, 2 years. But if you're staying in the house, Pratap, then you can, of course, leverage that with a home equity line of credit. So, if you're selling the house, that's one thing. You're going to have to deal with taxes on that. But how do you offset that? The real question is, how do you offset that? Talk to your tax accountant, talk to your tax attorney, like, what are you going to have to pay? And then how do you offset that with the purchase of other real estate? And of course, if you're working with our team, depending on if you qualify, you'd be able to get a cost segregation analysis. So you'd be able to get cost segregations done on these other properties that you're buying. And that's a huge offset in taxes. You know, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in tax offsets when you're investing in real estate. And that's the thing, right? That's why real estate investors, it's buy until you die, right? Because they're constantly buying. The whole reason they're buying is to offset their taxes. So they never pay taxes. So with that kind of profit, what are you looking at when you talk to your tax attorney? Like, what are you looking at overall based on how long you've lived in the property as your primary residence and et cetera, you know, et cetera? What is that number? And then what do you need to offset that so that you're not paying the government? Why would you want to send $300,000, you know, to Uncle Sam when you could use $300,000 and buy rental properties and then have that tax offset so you're not paying Uncle Sam, you're paying yourself and you're investing. And by the way, the government wants you to do this. They want you to invest in property and build houses and, you know, and partner with the government. Again, I come back to Tom Wheelwright's great book, Tax-Free Wealth. Right? How do you build wealth tax-free? So again, I need to know that number, Pratap. And if you're talking with Haley on our team, you know, she's not a tax advisor, but it's certainly we can figure out, well, what would the offsets look like in the purchase of additional properties so that I can offset what you're going to be paying in profit. But again, if you're not selling it and you're just looking at the equity position you have in the property, of course, then you're able to use that home equity in order to buy properties. And then you're not paying any capital gains taxes at all because you're still living in the property. So again, just some things I don't know right off the top of my head, but I would definitely want to find out what that number is. And then, okay, here's what we're going to be paying. We're paying Uncle Sam $250,000. Okay. Well, then how many properties do I need or what structure do I need with my tax team in order to offset that? So I'm not paying Uncle Sam. I'm paying myself. I'm buying properties. They're going to cash flow. That's what we've done. We had a big tax year a couple of years ago, and that's exactly what we did. Before the end of the year, we knew what we were going to have to pay. You know, in November, October of that year, we were looking at what we had to pay. So we structured things. Okay, we acquired a few more rental properties. We also set up a special like insurance company. We also did that, which was a way to offset our gains from some of our profits. So we were able to do some offsets where we didn't have to really come out of pocket, I don't think anything, because of our investments towards the end of the year. Anyway, I hope that helps. I know it's a little a nebulous answer, but I just don't know the exact numbers here. And I don't know what your current situation looks like overall. But so that would be my suggestion there. Thank you so much, Pratap. Okay, your next question.
Alan from Florida. I own a rental property here that's appreciated nicely. I've gained a little over $300,000 equity just in the past 2.5 years or so. But it's an older property and it isn't cash flowing well. Most months, I'm just breaking even. Should I hang on to it as its values keep increasing, or should I sell it because I'm not getting the cash flow? Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Great question. Okay, that's a great, great question. The reason I love this question is because it comes back to something that I teach here on the channel, which is always analyzing your portfolio and identifying the dogs in your portfolio. So maybe you've got 10 properties. I don't know your situation, Alan. I don't know if you do. Let's say you have 10 properties and, you know, 9 of them are, you know, they haven't appreciated significantly. They've gone up in value. As real estate tends to do. So it's gone up in value a little bit. The rents are consistent. Maybe you've been able to increase rents a little bit as well. So overall, but then there's that one property that's kind of the dog. That's why we want to analyze our portfolio all the time. Every month or every year, sit down and be honest with yourself. Have a come to Jesus moment about your portfolio. So this property, okay, here's this one. It's kind of a thorn in our side. The rent is not consistent. We're kind of breaking even. If we're going to do renovations on it, because it sounds like you said it's older, so I'm going to do renovations on it. How much do I want to put into this property? Okay, if I put $100,000 into the property, because the numbers won't lie, right? Okay, so if I fix it up, I put $100,000 of renovations into the property to make it brand new looking, what will it rent for? And this is an answer you'd get from a property management team on your street there. Okay, if it's a 3-bedroom, whatever it is, if I fix this up to the standards, what is current market rent going for? Okay, well then do those numbers make sense? is your return on investment there? Is your IRR there? Is your internal rate of return there? Do those numbers make sense? Or did you just pour a whole bunch of money down the toilet? Me personally, I would sit back and say, okay, this profit that I'm going to make on this property, $300,000, can I roll this into a 1031 exchange and roll this into, because I can roll this into like six rental properties. You could take the profits from this one property and you could do a 1031 exchange. You can book a call with our team, Alan. Our team will help you with this. We have a 1031 specialist on our team, which can walk you through this process. And then you can buy brand new construction properties. Again, you could work with us or somebody else. I don't care. Or do it yourself. It doesn't really matter. But my point is doing a 1031 exchange, so that profit now is not taxed. And now you're rolling, you're that one property that's kind of a dog. You're rolling that one property into three, four, five, or even six rental properties, brand new construction ones that will cash flow, that where the numbers do make sense, that are brand new, so you don't need to renovate them. We had a client recently who had over $1 million in profits from the sale of a large property in Las Vegas, I believe, and wanted to roll that over into rental properties. With that $1 million, they were able to buy, I think they bought 10 properties with us, brand new construction, but they did it all using a 1031 exchange under the IRS code. They didn't have to pay any taxes. So now they rolled that profit into 10 rental properties of like in kind value. You know, it has to be like or in kind or more valuable, right? Can't be worse off. So that would be my advice. If that was my property, I'd be talking to my wife right now about it. I'd be saying, okay, we've got this property. It's kind of a dog. It's not really performing. Do we want to put a lot of money into this to fix it up? Or do we want to sell it and make $300,000 in profit? And do we want to 1031 exchange this into some other rental properties? That's exactly what I would be doing. Now, the reason I say $300,000 would convert to about six rental properties is because, like with our properties at Morris Invest, they're about $50,000 or so down payment. Right. So then you'd have the financing built in for the rest of it. So that would be like six down payments, six properties, roughly, depending on what available stock we have, you know, but that's kind of where my mind goes. I'd be thinking in terms of 50s, you know, 50, 55,000, 45, right in that range. I'd be like, wow, I could take that 300,000 and turn that literally into like six rental properties right now. That's how my brain thinks. So anyway, and again, we have a 1031 team that can help you with this. The key though, Alan, is you absolutely want to start the 1031 exchange process before you're selling the house. Okay. Again, we've done whole videos here, the importance of following the guidelines for a 1031 exchange so that you don't pay taxes. You have to do it step by step by step with the 1031 exchange person so that you're not touching the money and the profits and all of that. Otherwise, the IRS will get their cut of it. Okay. So great questions today. Thank you guys for this. Let's keep our eye on what's happening with these interest rates over the next few weeks. It's going to be a crazy spring, guys. Thank you guys. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, just go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on that microphone icon and leave us a voicemail question. And we will get to your answers here on the show. You can also hang out and book a call with our team if you'd like to talk about investing in real estate. Our full service team is there to talk with you. They're fantastic. And we will walk you through step by step how to do that. So thanks, guys. We'll see you back here next time on the Investing in Real Estate show. Now go out there, take action, start investing in real estate. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.